The following is a CSPN Media Patreon exclusive. Thank you for listening and thank you for your support.
Brothers and sisters, you are listening to the Bad and Boozy podcast. This is a special edition. This is a Wakanda Uncorked edition. I am your co-host, So Lovely, from the Jabari tribe. I am the future bride of M'Baku. And I am joined today by my lovely co-host, D'Asia Ali.
First of all, you know I'm not that creative. What's the tribe? Is it a West Baltimore tribe?
West Baltimore.
West Baltimore.
West Baltimore.
It'd be some Africans out there, bitch. I'm here. Hey, y'all.
And we are here with some bonus content because we both just saw Black Panther in my most regal
voice. I do feel. Look, I try to still feel the vibe by recording when I still have my head wrap on. So.
Yeah, man. You know, I still got my little hair jewelry, and I should have kept that. I was gonna keep that bun in, but my head started hurting last night. That's it. At around 2 o'clock in the morning, that happened.
No, I understand. Anybody who ever have twisted braids like that, they get it.
Woo, man! The top of my head, I was like, Lord, take me now. I can't take it. But yeah, y'all, we wanted to pop in and give y'all a little bit of bonus content. This is going to be an uncorked episode, so if you're looking for wine hotels and trivia and all that stuff, this ain't it. This is just us shooting the shit.
Ain't no structure, bitch.
Ain't no structure. This structure? Ain't nobody got time for that. We both just saw Black Panther, and we both had some really good uncorked shenanigans, and we wanted to share those with you. We both had some specialty drinks in a celebration of the Panther that is Black, and we both had Black ass experiences because we both went to the same party but on two different coasts.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah. So, I at this point I have seen Black Panther 2 times. D has seen it once. So catch
I've
up, nigga.
I've only seen it once. But after I was done, I told my brothers, we got to go to Wakanda, niggas. What is happening? So hopefully I'll be seeing it again with my brothers.
Man, I'm ready to get my passport. But from what I was looking at when they showed that little globe in the beginning, I was like, okay, so Wakanda ain't even really on the west side. It's like on the east side of Africa. That's why they a little bougie.
I prefer the, the East Africans anyway. I'm sorry.
Shout out to the Africans. Except for the Nigerians, because y'all is some scammers. But yeah, so we're gonna go ahead.
I'm sorry, y'all.
So we're gonna uncork our respective experiences, let y'all know how we felt about the movie, how our feelings after the movie, and you know, all the little drinks that we had during the process as well. Because, like I said, we both were out, we've been drinking.
We've been drinking.
Yep. So my experience started on Thursday night. At first, I wasn't gonna see it.
Well,
Thursday.
Do we wanna? You mentioned. Well, we can mention the actual event that we both went to.
Okay, so I can do that. Yeah. So before we get started on Corgan, we do want to tell you the event that we both went to. The wonderful people of Movie Trailer Reviews held an event. I believe it's called what? Black Panther Mixtape? Let me check my email.
Mm-hmm. I think it was the Black Panther Mixtape.
Yep. So there was pretty much 2 private screenings, one in Los Angeles, one in, was it actually D.C. or was it Maryland?
Yeah,
where was it?
It was in D.C.
In D.C. And so my experience was last night. D's experience was today, which is Saturday. But we were both pretty much at the same party.
Yeah, because it was like the same similar crew, but it was like the niggas on the East Coast and the niggas on the West Coast. I was like, that's cool. Look at that little community.
Yeah, it was cool. I like that. And it was funny because folks would talk about that they had flew out. I was like, y'all flew out?
Oh, no, they did. Because a couple of people at my event definitely either flew in, or a couple people who was maybe like 3, 4, 5 hours away just drove in. I was like, it was about that life. The tickets went super fast. If we want to rewind back to when they first put the tickets live, like, the tickets like sold out in maybe like a few minutes. Yeah. So niggas was ready. Yeah. They announced it on their respective shows on MTR Network and Where's My 40 Acres or whatever, and those tickets was gone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was you basically had to be there. It was funny because like when I was thinking back on like the experience, I was like thinking of that corny ass quote that I see on Instagram. Last night was a movie, because it really was.
No, it really was a movie, and I'm already like thinking of how I'm gonna retell this movie to like my 2-month-old niece. Like, she has no idea, like, but I'm like preserving my thoughts so I can make sure I tell her.
Yeah. And if you have not seen it already, you might as well turn this off, because we're gonna be spoiling. It's gonna be some spoilers, bitch. So so we'll tell you when we're gonna start getting into the spoilers or whatever, but I mentioned that if you haven't seen it already, because I want to express how important it is that you see it if you are African American, that you see it with a group of Black people. Like, I saw it in 2 different environments. I saw it in a not necessarily a predominantly white theater, but there was like a lot of white, Asian, Hispanic, and Blacks were the minority in the theater. And then the next day I saw it and damn near everybody was Black. It was 2 different experiences completely and totally. So you need to see it with your brothers and sisters, with your tribe.
Would they say your skin folk?
Yeah, see it with your skin folk, because it was definitely a lituation. It was like community. Like, people you never met before, never seen before. We was just all gathered together, talking, singing, dancing, turning up. Because in addition to actually going to the film, both locations had after parties as well, as I understand, correct? So I went to the after party, excuse me, in Long Beach. D went to the one in D.C. And so it was just like a really dope experience. So shout out to the people for putting the events together. Did you guys have giveaways at your function as well?
It was a raffle of some sort, hell yes.
They had... We had a I got a poster for going. They did a African attire contest, and they also had a cosplay contest.
Oh, wow, yeah. We just had like they had like a raffle or something, but
yeah. They had some door prizes as well. And here's the funny thing, like, when I got to the theater early, y'all. It started at 7. Mm-hmm. I didn't know where the hell I was at. So even though I was there a little bit early, it took me some time to find the theater. So I meandered in there around like 17.
Listen, I don't like being late. I be early, especially when I don't know what's going on. I be early. Yeah. Anybody got time?
I was early. I got in line. Some folks that I had met through another group, we all started trickling in slowly. So we stuck together and we checked in. But it was funny because, like, when I first got there, you know, there was a handful of people there. There was a nigga dressed up as Captain America. Why? I don't know.
Okay, I don't know a thing about comic books, but Captain America, they're the same thought.
Yeah, I mean, like, we're at a Black Panther screening. Why, sir? Out of all the characters in Black Panther,
and I was saying last time, the little bit I know was, I feel like Captain America is like the whitest of the whites.
Oh,
like,
yeah, he is. He fought the Nazis in World War II. He's white as hell, yes. So I was like, okay, bro, but at first there wasn't like a lot of people in heavily influenced with like their African attire, and it was funny. Then all of us, because I would literally just text one person in my group who hadn't got there yet. I was like, yeah, I'm here, but I'm like a little bit disappointed in the fashions. And no sooner did I press send, like a massive group of like 30 people came through. They looked like a whole tribe because everybody was dressed up. I saw folks with kufis, folks with all kinds of kente and mud cloth and bright colors. I was like, yes, that's how you're supposed to do it. I mean, yes. I was like, yes. I was overwhelmed. I felt Wakanda in the air at that point. It was Yes. It was good. And they had like they didn't have somebody playing the drums like they had on Instagram, so I was a little bit upset.
Oh yeah, because see the thing is with me, so it a lot of people watched it Thursday and Friday, and then I didn't see it till Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. But I was just still like just amazed and in awe of all the tweets and gifts and everything about like people just seeing. And when I saw niggas was like, niggas with drums, niggas on that exit ceremony, yes. Niggas dancing. Somebody had like some fish plates or some plates. The niggas was getting food. Niggas had like a little buffet line. one of my personal girlfriends from college was like, somebody's grandma is in here, Lysoling the seats down, but she is ready. And I was just like, yes, I love our people. And somebody was like, I mean, I get the cosplayers up, but it's drums too much. Nah, them drums was playing while the previews was on. You yep. be all right, nah. Same. Had fun. It was good. I was here for all of it, so it got me excited. But other than people getting, I was just really excited at everybody else's joy.
Yeah.
So I was really like, I know nothing about comic books and movies or whatever. The few I've seen, it's been like over the years my brothers wanted to go to the movies, but I'm like, I enjoy seeing black people happy, and I was just like, okay, I want to be a part of this experience as well.
Yeah, man. Yeah, like you said, the joy online permeated to real life because it really was a joyful experience.
Even when people was talking, a few people was mad about think pieces and stuff like that, my experience was overall pleasant. So I was like, let me focus on that.
Yeah.
And channel that.
We don't have time for think pieces. We could gather them folks next week, but this weekend it's a party, okay? It's a 4-day weekend.
A long weekend. Yes. Let's get that.
We partying. Yeah, they didn't have the drums in my theater, but there was somebody with a speaker, so they was playing some songs from the soundtrack. There was a dude for the cosplay contest. Like I said, there was a guy dressed up as Captain America. There was a dude dressed up as Killmonger, and he won because he really had the whole vest. He had his hairstyle just like, he looked just like that dude.
Can I pause and mention?
Yeah.
We both listened to J and XD.
Yes.
And XD is funny as fuck. So as soon as you said Killmonger, I was thinking about his bangs. And yes. If anybody knows, did you listen to Jay and XD this week?
Because no, not yet.
XD said he felt, I don't know if you saw the video, but it's an old YouTube video. And he said he couldn't take Killmonger seriously because he kept thinking about the dude going, there goes my bang.
Shut up.
And it's this dude, like, I think he was called Coochiness or he was called something like that. And it's a video where he did the song at the same, tempo of Usher, There Goes My Baby, but he's like, there goes my bangs, bitch. Oh my and he's God. Just like swirling his bangs around. And he was like, that's what he was thinking the whole thing. And I was trying to forget that during the movie, but I couldn't. It was funny. Man. It didn't ruin the movie for me, but it was funny. So if y'all get a chance, go look up, I think it was called Coochiness or something like that. There goes my bangs, bitch, and get your life. That video is in even if you want to, while we record, I will look it up. It's so good.
That is funny. Yeah, I'm going to have to look that up. Hold on, let me see. Let me see how much juice I got on my
motherfucking. How much juice you got? Because I literally
12%.
I forgot, as you said yesterday.
As a conservative, I'm a commentator. He's considered to be an intellectual on their side. But when I played,
somebody was big mad about Black Panther.
It just sounded like somebody was big mad.
It was a white dude, of course. He was big mad. He was like, "You guys are celebrating over this, but you guys have been free from slavery, and there's no more Jim Crow, and you had Martin Luther King. I don't know why you guys are so excited." Like,
but why? But that shit already happened. Why we can't be?
Oh, and the YouTuber's name is Coochiness.
Yeah, Coochiness.
Wait, why does he have a video for video phone?
I don't think I saw that, but there goes my bangs, bitch.
I need to watch that.
It's the one I know him from.
Hold on, let's see. He's doing something with his hair.
I think he was adjusting his bangs, if I remember correctly.
Man, he is like not Carlton Banks before not Carlton Banks. He got the little ponytail.
He put the ponytail.
Why are his bangs in a ponytail? This is
That's why it was hilarious. I didn't remember what he was doing before he started singing.
My name is Coochiness. That's C-O-O-C-H-I-E-N-E-S-S.
You just need to see it at least once.
Okay, bitch. Yes. Coochiness, bitch. That's my babe. There go my bangs, bitch. Ooh, we look at she and you don't know how
well can't
I can slay my bangs, bitch. There go my bangs, bitch. There they go, there they go, there they go. Loving everything she do. Ooh, we look at she and you.
Well,
actually, he said the whole time he was watching the movie, that's what he was thinking of when he saw Killmonger. I was weak. Like, I hadn't even seen the movie yet when I heard that. But I knew exactly what he was talking about. I was like, this, yeah, you, shut up. I love my gay friends. Yeah. That's literally the only reason why I know about that.
Foolish. Yeah. So, yeah.
So, you had a little bit of theater.
We had a little theater, a little drama. What else was I gonna say before? Oh, I had to go get some snacks, and when I went outside to the little concessions, I noticed they had a Black Panther cup. I said, "Well, goddamn, I got to get the Black Panther cup, nigga. I don't care. It was $8, but I had to spend the money, man. I had to spend the money. So I got the cup and I got some nachos, and then the dude was like, "Well, what kind of candy do you want?" And I was like, "Did you say what kind of candy?" And then the dude behind me in the line, he was like, "They got what kind of candy?" I said, "No, honey, calm." He said, "What kind of?" I said, "What kind?" Okay, yeah, it was fun. Yeah, we was too turnt before it even got started. It was.
I know that.
Yeah, it was like you could feel it in the air. Then I was like, "Hurry up with these previews," and we started on time. Like 7:58 came, and it was like, "Okay, we're getting ready to start the show." Blah blah blah. I was like, "Oh, okay."
We was pretty much on time too.
Yeah, because like we had the whole, you know, the whole theater was reserved for us. So we got escorted up in that bitch. I was like, yes, this is how we do it. This is how I'm supposed to go to the movies every time. I feel like
look, y'all know I don't go to the movies, but I'm also like, I mean, is the movies like this every time? Maybe I start going.
I know. I felt spoiled. I was like, yes, I could do this. You know, just go. You mix and mingle. And, you know, you get escorted to your seat or whatever. Y'all just chill.
And the theater that had, like, some reclining chairs. Mm-hmm. And I've been to a theater like that before. But apparently, it's new at that particular theater. And I was, like, dumb comfortable. And, like, I was just chilling hard, like... Oh, I could do this.
We had reclining seats as well. They were leather. Everyone had their own armrests, so you weren't sharing. It had your own two cup holders, so you weren't sharing those joints either. But what we did do is they did do Lift Every Voice and Sing.
We ain't do no Negro spirituals. Man, we should have swag surfed or something.
Man, we did the first verse. The operation. I know, man. Y'all should have had an order of service. What happened?
Wasn't in charge.
Man, you know, next time. Black Panther 2, when that come out. When Killmonger prequel come out. But, yep. Watch the movie. And I guess here comes the spoilers, y'all. But let me check on see. Or how was y'all? So, how was your pre-movie experience different from mine as far as the organization?
It will be a little bit different, I'm assuming, also because, I mean, even though we saw it on a Saturday, we saw it early. Mm-hmm. Like, when the theater basically, I think the theater maybe opens at 11:30 or something like that. I think our showing was at 12. So, I feel like a certain level of heightness you wasn't going to feel because niggas was just trying to wake up and make sure they got there on time.
Right.
But it was still like some energy. I was trying to make sure. So, you know, since we ordered it, since through that event, we wanted to make sure you actually picked up your physical ticket on time. So they were, I think the showing was like up until 12. I mean, the show was starting as well, so they was like, you can pick up your tickets up until like 11:45. I was like, let me get there like an hour early. The good thing is it was downtown D.C. If anybody's familiar with the where the Wizards play. It was like in that same gallery shopping area, whatever. And then her random ass sidebar is like, I got out the thing and I must not have, I haven't been changing trains downtown in a long time. Cause I looked up like trying to figure out where I'm at and I'm like, hey, where's the Verizon Center? The whole damn arena where the Wizards played and changed to the Capital One Arena. It ain't the Verizon Center no more. I'm like, hey, when did this happen? It had to have been in the last couple months. But it's in that same area. And when I got there, you know, some of the different listeners, the podcast hosts, everybody had on their little African attire or the head wraps or whatever they decided. You know, it was real festive. There was no drums and stuff. Although we did see after the movie, the people who were coming to see it after us, you did see it like being a little bit more hype. But that kind of makes sense because they was watching it at like 1:30, 2 o'clock and stuff like that. But it was cool. We got our tickets similar to you guys, got escorted to the spot. Everybody got their snacks, took pictures in front of the little Black Panther signs. One of the guys, Brandon, Phenom over at Where's My 40 Acres, he does some photography. So a few times when I saw him taking random pictures, I tried to strike a pose or whatever. And I'm sure. And Chris from MTR Network was there too, because he's local. So he was taking pictures. And if anybody went to NegroCon in 2017, the podcast event, they're using that same Instagram page that they made last year to post pictures from this year. So I did notice that after the event that at NegroCon 2017, that handle on Instagram, they were posting some pictures. So if you guys want to go and check there, I'm sure they'll be adding more pictures of us there. But we had a good time. And in that same complex is the bar. And I think they let them know that a bunch of us was coming, like, oh, it was a bunch of, you know, we had the whole theater, that whole one theater, and that we would be coming down to get drinks and stuff. The fun thing was right before the movie started, we went to the restaurant called Bar Louis. They was opening up like 11. Our movie didn't start till 12. So a couple of us went in there as the guys just like setting up the bar. And we like, I know it's early, but can we get a drink before this movie? We were trying to see what time they open, and we literally walked in as soon as they opened the door. He was like, well, what is it, Wakanda? We said, we don't know. We just know we're about to see this movie. And so he was like, hold up, hold up. What y'all thinking about? We was like, it gotta be black. It gotta be something dark or whatever. I have no idea what he mixed up. I'm pretty sure one of us asked him but didn't retain the information, but it was like this deep little purple color. I actually, when I got home, did post a picture on the Bad Boozy podcast Instagram and social media, but it was really good. Oh, he did ask us, do you want sweets or tart? And it was about five of us, so the majority were tart, so it had like some lemon flavor. So I don't know if he put like maybe some dark, I don't know, maybe it kind of tastes like maybe some Chambord, maybe some brandy or something, I don't know. I just know it was good, and we just took like the one shot, and then we was like, all right, we're gonna holler at you when we come back after the movie. We need you to make that again. And then after the movie, about 2:30, and then by then everybody just came down, ordered drinks and hung out. And it was really nice because it's like some of us who are friends on Facebook but local in DC got a chance to hang out. Some people came from out of town, and like you said, same with you, flew in, some people drove in, and it was just kind of nice. Like, they had this like black ass space. Like, it was really, yeah, it was a really good experience to just mix and mingle before and after during the movie and just have this black ass experience with like my peers or whatever.
Yep. So I guess this is where we can talk about the movie itself for y'all. I've seen it two times. The first time I was like, it was good. Second time I was like, yeah, it was really good. Cause like I had to like really think back like on all the, cause it was, I guess I was just really like overwhelmed the first time I saw it because it was just like so much to take in.
I can definitely see how you could be overwhelmed.
Yeah. It was just, and plus like the crowd I was with really wasn't the right kind of crowd either. Cause you know, couldn't really let loose like I wanted to, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't laugh as loud as I wanted to. There was some jokes that I got that other people didn't get. I was like, oh, okay. So, okay.
You don't get it.
Yeah, because one of Shuri said, what are those? Like, I was rolling.
Oh, my God, let me tell you how I want to be Shuri's best friend. Like, I don't want to be her. I want to be her best friend. Like,
she's so cool.
She might have been my favorite character. I think the longer I think about them, the more I'm convinced she's my favorite character.
Same here. It's it for me. It's a tie between her and you know, my future husband M'Baku.
Why we the same? Hold up. I don't know. Maybe that's a sign of the fact that we're doing this podcast together. But they both literally, I had the same thing. Like, I love both of them.
Man. But, yeah. There was definitely, there's a lot of quotables in the movie. Let's talk about how, when they first, okay, for me, like, okay, when I'm thinking back, I was like, nah, I didn't feel no emotion. I wasn't feeling like, you know, everybody talk about they was crying and shit. I wasn't feeling like that. But then, like, I do remember there's, like, certain parts where I was like, okay, ah, that's good, that's good. But so, like, when they were, okay, first of all, can we call it a spaceship or a plane? What is it? What is we calling it?
I feel like we can't call it a spaceship or a plane. It got to become some kind of, like, levitating jet. I don't know. Some kind of, like, some kind of futuristic jet, right, or something. I don't know what it is. It was, like, mad fancy. Yeah. Like, it was something beyond anybody's, like, expectations or anything I could even imagine.
Man, and when I saw it, like, getting ready to take off, I was like, this shit looked like a motherfucking African mask. Okay. I see how y'all did that with the eyes and the mouth and, like, the things sticking around on the side.
So many, like, oh, I see you. I get it.
Yeah, y'all.
Like, it was just like these little head nods that,
yes,
you're going to get, and just, I don't know. Yeah. I definitely, anybody who said, I understood immediately anybody whose response before I saw it when they said, I feel seen. Yeah. I was like, oh my goodness, I get it.
Yep. And I can't start off with talking about it without talking about how I love the fact that it opened in Oakland, California. Can we
talk? Oh, yeah. And shout out to the homie Nick Jew from What's the Tea podcast. She was at my showing today. So she mentioned, without like a spoiler, she said something about the opening kind of like hitting her. And then as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, she's from the Bay Area.
She's
or
from
whatever.
The town. Yep.
Yeah. So when she said something, cause you mentioned it being, you briefly mentioned it beforehand, it being like emotional in that first few 5 or 10 minutes. And when she mentioned it, I was like, see, I don't think that hard. So I never tried to connect the dots to why people were saying it. Mm-hmm. I just brain dumped. And when I watch it, I watch it. And then when I looked, I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
But, and I can see how it could be, you know, like touching for somebody that's from there. But for anybody who from just a
any kind of hood,
black ass city,
hood city,
I was
USA.
Just like, I felt it. Like, I'm from Baltimore. I'm like, oh, look at this. We on the big screen.
Man, the basketball net with the milk crate instead of, yeah.
People,
man,
with the milk crate. So sometimes it'd be the chains that's like broken down. Uh-huh. Oh my God, that is so like, it's small things like that that niggas don't know.
Yep.
Well, we know. But
yeah, we know. The projects next door. But baby, when I saw the chocolateness that is Sterling K. Brown on the scene, I said, okay, okay.
What is you doing? I said, what is you doing?
I'm like, where's Beth?
I guess everybody processes spoilers and stuff like that differently. Maybe it's different for me because I'm not like that. I don't watch movies and stuff. But when somebody had already mentioned that Sterling K. Brown was in the movie and somebody was like, oh no, don't spoil it. Even though somebody had told me he was in the movie, in my mind, I don't have no idea where he's going to show up. Right. And when he showed up, I was like, I didn't see that coming. So
At all.
So just you telling me here in the movie, I'm like, I ain't see that coming. So,
yeah, first of all, he showed up. He was talking about, we got these weapons. This is what we gonna do when these folks pull up. And then it was a knock at the door. Like, homeboy went to the door. He was like, it's two Grace Jones looking chicks. I was like, oh, somebody's in trouble. Mm. But then when he came in, and then he said, what did they say? They asked him like who he was or something. And then when he, like, revealed the writing on his lip, I said, oh, shit, this nigga from Wakanda. I said, oh, we about to get that accent. We about to get it. Oh, we gonna get some serious acting now. Then when he started doing that, I said, yes, daddy, yes. Speak to me in your native tongue, daddy.
Yeah, and it's funny seeing it like that because so I think it's funny when people like when you associate like the characters with like other like the actor with other characters they play. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I have the benefit of having no idea who these actors come from because I don't watch movies that much movies. But in recent years, I did see Sterling K. Brown on the O.J. Simpson joint.
Yeah.
And I'm currently watching him on This Is Us, and he's on my radar. And I'm like, hey, where this nigga come from? What is you doing? Like, right. This is a little bit different than the last two times I've seen you.
Right.
But I was here for it.
I don't know if we want to spoil the beginning, but this is where, I guess, we'll just tell you that.
I feel like we can go, but like, don't spoil.
Yeah. Yeah, so the beginning of the movie pretty much starts off in an earlier time period. Then it brings you forward to modern day Wakanda, and we see
it was like started in like 1992.
Yeah, 1992. Like, yep, and then that's when we first because you see like little hints of the what are we calling it? Not the spaceship, the Wakanda travel vessel,
right?
That's the flying mask. That's what I'm calling that joint. But then, like when they pull up on Wakanda, like you see, like you know, they show these people in the fields and they're waving as the vessel is going by. And the part that I got emotional, like when you see the people like on the horses and they're like going and they're waving and like the wind is moving their outfits. I was like, nigga, like this like could be wind. Us.
It was like every little person who had a job on that film did that job.
Yeah.
And they did it really good.
Whether
it was making a piece of hair blow, whether it was the makeup, whether it was the, like, everybody did that job. Like,
yep. Yep. And,
I think somebody, was it Rod? I don't know. Somebody said they, like, the film, like, it was hyped up, and they stuck the landing. Like, they really did stuck the landing.
Yeah. It was a triple sal cow with a triple toe loop with a quadruple flip. Like, they really nailed everything. The colors, the hair. Oh, God. The hair, the outfits. I mean.
Yeah, everything. It was colorful. It was, like, it was colorful. It just was so, it was beautiful. Yeah. Like, it was really beautiful.
All the colors were rich. The purples were rich. The reds were rich. The oranges, the pinks, the yellows. Oh, when Lupita stepped out in that green, honey, I was like, yes! Mm. Look at that emerald green on that chocolate skin. Oh, can we talk about how Lupita's skin was just smooth? There was like not a blemish, not a freckle, not a nair, nutter, nothing. It was just perfectly brown.
Yeah.
It was,
Yeah. So I like the idea that like, and I don't know, I don't know if anybody listening to this would need to hear it, but it was just like proof that we as black people, but specifically black women, you ain't got to be afraid of color, bitch. Wear all them colors, all of them, like bright, dark, like this is just like, you know, like, yes, drink your motherfucking water so your skin don't be looking scratchy, but wear all the colors, that color that you was thinking you was going to look funny in, wear it.
Yeah, go
I'm
ahead.
Saying, wear it.
She was wearing a green dress with some red hair on her black skin, and it looked amazing.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
It looked good, but, I mean, like, we're not going to go into deep detail, but I do feel like we need to talk about this part. When they was doing the Omarion touch.
Oh yeah, when it was just kind of like this, like
when there was a challenge,
I felt that it's weird because I felt that on like a fun level, like oh we about to dance, but I also felt it on some like this seemed like something I should be respecting.
Yes, I was like, oh, it's about to get serious. Like, let me.
Like, oh, it's about to get. It kind of reminds you of like when you was young, growing up in the church or something, and your grandma was like, oh no, you gotta be quiet for the prayer, or you gotta do this. And I'm like, oh,
yeah, like you're about to watch somebody get baptized. That's And what it felt like for me, like when the vessel first pulled in and the stairs opened up and he descended down the stairs into the water. I said, look at this nigga. This should look like the, what's it called? The Love Drop video when Beyonce and them when they was walking out into the water. I said, look at this. This is like some
African it was like, shit. Oh my God. And I was just like, where they at? They like on the side of this mountain.
I'm like, right on the side of the waterfall.
they're like at the edge of the waterfall. I was like, this is pretty. And then I'm wondering how much was like real, how much was CGI.
Yeah.
But I was like, it looked real.
It looked real.
I was like, this is amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Like, listen, somebody get my passport so I can go to Wakanda.
Hurry up. But
I need
to. It was so dope because you thought everything was all good. You know, he was just going to get it was like chaining day. He came through to get his chain put on. Everybody was passing on the ceremony. Then all of a sudden you hear, ooh, 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 ooh.
Shout out to them ooh,
ooh. I was like, what's happening?
Somebody in the theater when we was there, when they came through, said, when they was coming through like, ooh, ooh, somebody said, gee, you know. So it was like nobody really yelled out that much in the theater, but at the few strategic people yelling out, it was strategically placed and was really good. And when they said G unit, I was like, shut up. We was just crying laughing.
Yep.
Because homeboy said, I'm going to come through and challenge. I said,
He came through. He had the mask on his face. I said, ooh, it's going to be scary. Then he took the mask off. He was fine. I was like,
He took the mask. First of all, even before he took the mask off, I said, you know, we like a little thicker nigga. And I'm like, all right, he's looking a little thick, but then he took off the mask and he was thick and he was fine.
Yeah. I wasn't ready.
I was not ready. And I low-key love the fact that I don't try to find, even if it's a movie, TV show, if you tell me something to watch, I'll just watch it. I don't go researching and try to find out pre-information. Mm-hmm. So I ain't know what the cast look like. I ain't know this nigga. I hadn't seen his picture. But when I seen a nigga take his face off, I was like, dude, this nigga got a Boosie face. What it got? I don't know what kind of face this is, but
he was using that curl sponge for sure.
Oh my God. I whispered to somebody like, all the niggas in Wakanda use the sponge from the beauty supply store. Because T'Challa had the little curl.
Yes.
Had the sponge.
They use that juice and berries too. Shit.
And stuff like, I'm like, is they using the Frank juice from Oyin Handmade? I don't know. But they is out here with all the.
It wasn't Carol's daughter, that's for sure.
It wasn't Carol's daughter. It was like
Shea Butter.
It was like some shea butter from the herb. I was like, they is out here moisturizing. Yes. They is looking good. Same natural. But what's his name? M'Baku?
Yes.
Yes. First of all, I watched the whole movie. Ain't never pictures of what his name actually was. Mm-hmm. I think every time he was on the screen, I was just mesmerized at him. I was just like, hey, remember the thick nigga?
The one in the snow with the fur.
I was like, the thick nigga in the snow with the fur? And he was low-key funny.
He had me crying. Because at that one part, he was like, are y'all done? Y'all finished? Are y'all finished or y'all done?
And I love how they kind of like put in a subtle humor. Mm-hmm. And their subtle humor kind of reminded me of the fact of how, you know, just being black and shit, how we got to live these hard lives. You got to be black. You got to, it's like life in general is tough. But a lot of us cope with humor. Yeah. So sometimes you can be having the worst day, whatever, but you just crack that joke and it just make things all better. So he was just like, y'all done? I'm like, yeah, you right.
He was like, this was a nice touching moment, but I got shit to do. Y'all niggas need to go.
I got shit. Excuse me.
Scandal about to come on. What kind of shows you think they watch? They watch Real Housewives of Wakanda?
What do they watch in Wakanda? Oh my God, that would be like, can you give us some insight into what the regular people in Wakanda be doing?
I know, I need to know. Do they got the Bachelor?
And is homeboy on the Bachelor? What if homeboy was on the Bachelor?
Yes!
Listen, this would be some scam. Don't let me get on there. I'm sabotaging all of my other bitches.
Like, my name is Mfufu. I am from Nigeria and I am here for Mbaku.
One thing that I did not, of all the things that I could have kind of anticipated, I did not anticipate the feeling in my lady parts doing these scenes with these men.
Yeah, butterflies in your chest and your vagina, like Cardi B said.
Yes, I had butterflies in my stomach and my vagina. And all these niggas, and the women too. I'm like, these bitches is fine.
They was fine. They was cut. They was strong. Oh my God.
It was like they were all the things. They were fine. They were strong, but they was also like soft and gentle at the same time.
Yeah.
But you ain't want to fuck with them because they would beat your ass. I'm like, oh my God.
Yep.
I was there for all of them.
I was there.
I even wanted to hug the old ladies. The old ladies that was just chilling on the side. I'm like, hey, auntie.
Oh, literally, like Killmonger said, hey, auntie.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That might be my favorite line. Hey, auntie. I low-key, if my nephew grow up and see that movie and just be like, hey, auntie, I'm like, hey.
Man, Killmonger with the gold teeth. I was like, yes, honey.
Oh, he had the gold teeth. No. Listen, I'm gonna got a little soft spot in my heart for Killmonger, but it might be because before I left the house this morning to watch the movie, I was watching Michael Bay Jordan on Desus and Mero.
Yeah, I gotta watch that.
And it was just something about, you know what it is? I'm trying to reconcile this in my personality. Like, on one hand, you know, you want, like, I gotta have this good mix of, like, gentle or whatever, but I was like, how Killmonger was just, like, cussing, like, I'm like, in a superhero movie, I wasn't expecting a black guy to just be like, oh, well, I'm taking this shit. I'm like, hold up.
I felt talking the same about way. I was like, oh, excuse
me? And I couldn't put words to it when I was watching it, but I was just like, afterwards, I was like, oh, he's really just talking the same way my brother, my cousin, mm-hmm. my friends, my family, my neighbors in Baltimore would talk. He just happens to be in a Marvel superhero movie.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to figure, like, why was I so confused? Because it wasn't just, like, dramatic, weird-ass dialogue or how white people think black people talk. I was like, no, that's just exactly how we talk. Everybody gets that.
Yeah, he was African-American, like, for sure.
He was African. Yo. Killmonger was legit African-American. Killmonger
was what we in the black community refer to as a real nigga.
Yeah, he was a real nigga. And while I'm watching it, I'm like processing it, but not processing like why I'm thinking this way. But then thinking about it afterwards, I'm like, oh, Killmonger was just a nigga. I'm a nigga. That's why I like him. So if it's rough and as far as like lust, and, I mean, of course, some of them other niggas in Wakanda was fine, but I was like, this is why I like Killmonger, because he a nigga like me.
Yeah, I had a lot of respect for him. I mean, first of all, he is fine, but I just had, like, respect for his character just altogether. I saw something going around, people were asking, like, is Killmonger a Hotep? I'm like, no, he not a Hotep.
I mean, he's not Killmonger, but no Hotep.
He a street nigga that know his history. That's exactly what he is.
He a street nigga that know, and that's a big difference from a Hotep. He wasn't.
No, he ain't on that. He ain't on no respectability politics. He was telling that real rap raw, whether you wanted to hear it or not.
Ooh, and that's the thing. That's the thing when it comes to stuff like that. Sometimes, if you draw the parallels to, like, real life, it's the fact that niggas don't want to hear the truth. And Killmonger was one of them niggas that was like, excuse me. Okay. This is what we're doing. About to take this shit, whatever, whatever. And whether you agree with him or not, how could you not sympathize?
He was like, you gonna tell them who I am?
And then, no, and I felt him on that, because as much as I like T'Challa, I'm like, T'Challa, you know you can't keep this no secret. Like, what kind of cold is you running over here, my nigga? Like, Killmonger got the, you know what I'm saying? It's a cold.
Yeah, it's a street code. Killmonger lived by the street code. For real. Mm-hmm.
We don't care. Killmonger lived by the street code. T'Challa got his little rituals and codes and shit. And while I love that and respect that, deep in my heart, first of all, Killmonger was Wallace, and you know, Wallace was in Baltimore. So listen, Wallace growed up and he understand the street code.
Yeah. And the thing about
Wallace, like, ain't really died. I found out that today Wallace didn't die. <He's stupid.
laughs> And you mentioned a good thing, because about T'Challa was about maintaining Wakanda as it is, maintaining your history, preserving the culture. And he's like a lot of black men who are out here who weren't necessarily raised in the streets, who didn't grow up in those environments, and all they know is what their father and their grandfather taught them. They really don't have exposure to how we really are out here like this, how about what the real struggle was like. And Killmonger was like, I was out here, I was struggling, I was grinding, shit. Now, mama was a damn crackhead. Damn it, right?
Yeah. But it drew those, parallels to some of the conversations we were seeing online in real life about, like, Africans versus, like, African-Americans.
Yeah.
And it was just like, Killmonger was, like, an African-American, and T'Challa was just, like, a nigga from Africa, and he just meant what, but he meant well, but it's just that it's not that either one was right or wrong. It's just, like, you just need to open your eyes to see to the other side. But, you know, T'Challa was like, but shout out to T'Challa for opening his eyes and, you know, seeing or whatever, which I appreciate. I just, first of all, who was the writers? Because how did they make us get this deep and thinking? I've
in a superhero movie, man.
In a fucking superhero movie. I was like, hold up. I shouldn't be like, I didn't cry, But I legit, at a bunch of parts, was like legit choked up. And I was like, how marvelous, like how genius are they to have this action-packed film, this these awesome graphics, these amazing visuals, but somehow still weave in a meaningful story that draws parallels to your real-ass life,
yeah,
and make you just want to, like, hug somebody and cry all at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, multi-layers, and it showed us. I specifically love the fact that it showed Black women.
Yes.
As multi-layers. Like I told somebody when I left the movie, I was like, bruh, this is the representation I didn't even know I needed,
right,
as a 33-year-old woman. I'll be 34 next month. I was like, it legit never dawned on me. I never felt left out. I never felt left out. But then I watched this and I was like, oh, look at that. Like, we ain't on the TV sucking some idea, because we ain't on the TV being draining. Like, hold up.
These we're not people cussing and fussing on crack, on drugs, you know?
And while, you know, that part happens, but that's not the only part. And I was like, yo, and my, you know, I've talked on the show before about being working for the government and stuff. A lot of the older women that work in my office are Black women who, like, have businesses outside of my federal job. They raise kids. They got families. They got all these things. All the women that I've, like, looked up to. And I'm like, this is mirroring my real life experience. Like, all that other shit I see on TV, that's not really what I see. And I'm, yeah, like, in my real life, I got guidance counselor. My high school guidance counselor was my counselor in 9th grade to 12th grade. I still talk to her regularly to this day. Like, that's Black women excellence out this bitch. And then you get to see it on this grand scale. It's like, oh shit, people can see Black women the way I fucking see them.
Yeah.
Like, even, and I was like, oh my God, like, I didn't even know I needed this. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah,
From a fucking superhero movie.
Yeah. And one of the things that I love the most about it, because, you know, we're talking about the actors, some of them are up and coming, some of them have been around for a little while, but when we talk about the fact that this movie had Forest motherfucking Whitaker and Angela Bassett.
Forest Whitaker and Angela Bassett.
And they fixed Forest's eye. Forest didn't even have a wonky eye in the movie, okay?
They was giving me, like, but how about shout out to Angela Bassett when her hair was unfurled, yes, and she had them silver dress.
Ooh.
I said, slay, grandma.
Yes.
I want to be that fun and regal when I get to be that old.
Yeah, I felt it, because every time that you, it's, like you said, it's like so many Black women that we most. She was our mothers, our aunts, our grandmothers, because when she was at work, she was at work. You know, she was beat. Hair was pulled up, everything was tight, but when she was off and that hair was down, she was chill. I was like, yes.
Of reminded me of one of my friend's grandmas who I didn't realize had this beautiful hair, because every time I would see her, she would have a wig on. Mm-hmm. and the wig was cute, don't get me lying, but when she would take her hair down, and, you know, now that I think about it, I didn't even know. Then now that I think about it, she was actually doing a protective situation, a little protective style, but I didn't know back then, because I was still getting the perms in, like, high school. But she would take down her hair and, like, this, like, nice, long, regal hair. And I'm like, yes, Black woman.
Yeah. Shoot, that's like Rosa Parks. Every time you see those pictures of Rosa Parks, she always had her hair pulled up. But when her hair was down, Rosa had crop, hunty.
Yes.
Yep. And Angela Bassett, shout out Angela Bassett, played Rosa Parks in the Rosa Parks story as well. But yeah, man, it was good. It was good seeing that.
Angela Bassett, I was there.
Angela Bassett, oh my God. She was amazing. She gave me range. She gave me drama. She gave me excitement. She gave me fear.
Everybody was, like, so much range.
Yeah.
And I love how it was such a thoughtful movie.
Yeah.
But like I said, it also gave us, like, fun. Because Shuri was funny.
Yes.
She was so cute, so adorable, but so strong at the same time. It was so good.
Yeah,
it was really good.
And I appreciate the fact that, because normally whenever you see, like, the Black sidekick in the movies, you know, she's sassy and she loud. It wasn't none of that. She was the smart. First of all, Shuri is the smartest person.
She was running the shit.
Yeah.
And they also, with her being a woman versus her brother. Her brother also was, like, still gave reverence to her.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, I'm bossing her around. It was like, I need you, and I know I need you, so I'm going to respect mm-hmm. everything that you say.
Yep, and shout out to the fact
which
that...
Which is really how it go in real life, because these niggas be tripping. Yeah. We is really the ones running the show. Like you niggas is lying. It ain't you. It's some woman you know.
Well, first of all, shout out to the fact that Shuri is, like, one of the youngest people in Marvel Cinematic Universe, but she's also the smartest. She's smarter than Tony. She's smarter than everybody.
She was so smart, so cute, so adorable. She was just, like, so well-rounded. Like, strong, powerful. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay, so I think we can talk about, like, what
shout our... shout out to the shade. I love every moment that they shaded white people.
All of it.
Like, all it was so it. Good.
Man, the first time that we saw it was in the police station. And it was when Okoye was there with T'Challa, and they were there with Agent Ross. And they were all talking. And then, you know, T'Challa was like, okay, we gonna take, Claw with us. And Agent Ross was like, no, you're not. Then he put his hand on T'Challa's chest, and Okoye was like, huh? And she said, if he touches you again, I will impale him to that desk. I was like, yes,
sis. She said impale him. I was like, ooh.
She called him a colonizer. No, that's what Shuri called him.
But shout out to him, them calling the colonizers, because after the movie, when we were kind of like debriefing at Bar Louie, we would, of course, a flood of black people came in, but a few times we was just randomly looking up, like looking at random white people, like we can be like, hey, where are these colonized? No, we don't want to sit there, these colonizers. Like,
man, yeah,
like, we should go to work on Tuesday. Like, no, these colonizers.
I'm using that colonizers from now on. I'm not giving gap no
that's
more.
What we're referring to. If we getting some white niggas, I'm one of those people that say white niggas. I'm sorry, y'all. But if we getting these white people out there paint on Twitter, like, get these colonizers. Yo, that is part of my permanent lexicon.
Yeah, for real. That, I'm not giving dap no more. It's just this.
Grandmother better watch out, because if she's, my nephew's grandma is white, she steps sideways, I'm going to be like, hey, did you see Black Panther? You acting like a colonizer.
A real colonizer.
I'm a real life one, colonizer. Don't do that.
Man.
I'm serious.
One of the things that I thought was interesting, because there was definitely the undertones of protecting Wakanda's culture, and I thought it was important when Nakia was like, they were talking about how she would make a good queen. And he was like, well, what do I need to do so that you can stay? And she was like, well, you need to share what you have with the outside world. T'Challa was like, I see how they doing. Nah, I'm straight. We keeping our shit right here. She was like, no, but there's people out there suffering. He was like, basically, he was like saying, because white folks gonna fuck it up, so no, we just gonna
and I mean, drawing parallels to real life, it's like, you know what? He's kind of right. They gonna fuck it up. White people kind of like just steal stuff and fuck it up.
Yeah, literally. Stole a whole millions of people from a continent, bro. But,
they just stealing people.
Man, I think we should talk about one of our favorite scenes. For me, my favorite scene is, you know, after T'Challa maintained the crown by defeating my future husband in Baku, he had his other ceremony where he had to have the powers restored back to him. So he took the herb of the heart. They made a little elixir for that. They gave it to him, and they laid him down in this red sand, and then they like covered him in the red sand. And then when he woke up, he was wearing this badass white fucking robe. He got up and
when he was kind of like in the afterlife, when he was like,
when he was on the ancestral plane, and you see the baobab trees and the whole sky is purple and blue and pink. I was like, this man, I was like, I gotta go to Africa. I know it's not gonna look like that, but I still need to go to experience the ancestral plane, because I know it's gonna be litty. I was like, oh my God. This is beautiful. This is the panthers in the tree was purring. Beautiful. I was like, yes, I'm here for all of this. It was just so beautiful in that moment with him and his father, and the music was playing, and he bent down and he was like, stand up, son, you're a king. I was like, yes, black people, stand up straight. We was kings.
like the whole thing. Yeah, that did. I like that scene, and it did like touch me kind of like emotionally as well, because it was just little parts like that. It was just like ooh, ooh, like oh, look at him. Because I think he was kind of like nailed down. He was like when he saw his father, like father, I'm not ready.
Yeah,
and he was like, and it was a line that the dad said. He said something like, if a father left the earth without preparing his sons, then he failed or something.
Yeah.
I'm just like, ooh. I'm like, ooh, like, ooh, like, oh.
It's bigger than us, so man. Good. It's bigger than you.
It's so good. Yep. It's so good. And I'm like, T'Challa, you can do it. Like, you can do it. Yeah. I know you can do it.
Yeah, he was like, I've trained you to be a king. You training this,
yeah,
that.
He said, you've been training for this all your life. You've watched me do this. You've done this all your life. And when he was on the ancestral plane and he was like, he was also like flashback in his brain to points from him being a little kid or whatever, whatever. And I was like, oh, it's so good.
Yeah. But let's shout out to young T'Chaka, which is T'Challa's father. Young T'Chaka was fine.
Young T'Chaka was fine.
I was like, okay.
I didn't know that was him. I realized, you know, of course, when it just first starts, I don't get it. But I was like, oh, yeah, your daddy was fine.
Yes.
I'm like, dang. I'm like, that ain't him, but I was like, oh, that's his daddy. Oh, I get it. that's why I got to say it again, because it's a lot to take in. So now I want to kind of like go watch and kind of like pay attention to other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
I definitely picked up more the second time around than I did the first time.
Yeah. I think I was just so in awe, and then you watching this big screen. Even on the screen, it's like if you accidentally focus on one part of the screen, even not the words, you might miss something or whatever. Mm-hmm. But what was my favorite scene? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Or a part that like sticks out in your memory.
That motherfucking sunset when
oh God.
The sunset. I'm about to get choked up just thinking about it.
He was like, I can heal you.
Oh my God. When he was just like, who? And then he was like, no. Oh my God. When I like the way the film kind of like calls back, like, the early story. And then like they connect the dots. And, you know, T'Challa didn't really want to kill Killmonger. But it was just like, I got to do what I got to do. And then
like, shit, this nigga tried to kill me, like literally. He thought I was dead.
It was like he literally tried to kill me, but I'm not gonna try to kill him because that's not what I'm about.
Yeah.
Because he really felt it on some, no, we shouldn't have left this kid. And I felt that too. Ooh. Like, why he had to leave? Like, why he left? Why
he just couldn't bring him?
Like I a little bit was mad with what's the daddy name, T'Chaka?
Yeah.
I was low key mad with T'Chaka, like what the kid do. Like I understand you killing a man, but the kid, and so I got it, but when he said, when I remember him, his daddy telling him about Wakanda sunsets, yeah, and then he mentioned it to old boy and T'Challa took him up to look at that sunset. I was just like I was like, it's too much.
Yeah,
that was one that really stuck out as far as the emotions, and maybe one more as far as the scene.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe one more was when T'Challa and Killmonger battled in the for the throne or whatever.
Yeah. What it's called?
Yeah, when they battled, and not necessarily the actual fight scene, but when Shuri and what's Angela Bassett's character, but when they were on a side,
yeah,
and they were like, and then it's slipping my mind, Lupita's character,
Nakia.
When they were on the side Nakia,
yeah,
when they were on the side yelling for them, I felt that on some, I'm a woman, right, so sometimes, yeah, I like put myself into that character. And Shuri, I immediately put myself into Shuri's position as if that was one of my brothers,
right.
And I was like, no, like I was like, no, like what, like, so when they was yelling, like T'Challa, like when she was like cheering them on, like,
yeah,
you got it, I'm like oh my God, like that's our brother, like, and y'all, well, you know, maybe not the listeners, but you know how close I am to my brothers, and I'm,
yeah,
like, no. And then in the film they were like really tight, and I'm just like, no, like, not our brother, no,
right.
No, I can't do it. So I was like, that, like those battle scenes, I don't know who whatever choreographed, all the cinematography, all the whatever. I,
yeah,
was like, they got me. They were really good.
Yeah, they were good. But when Killmonger at first, he was like, hey, man, this is what I did to get to you. I done killed in the U.S. I killed in Afghanistan. I killed in Iraq.
But he was like, I don't need no I don't need no extra shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't need whatever. But that's another, oh my God, but that's one of the things. Somebody find me a Killmonger. That's the kind of niggas I like. I ain't gonna front.
He said, them I killed everybody niggas. So I could kill you. That's exactly what he said.
Everybody so I could kill you. He was like,
he was on some revenge. He was looking for revenge.
But it was so good. It was so good. And he played it so well.
Yeah, he was
like,
good.
I wasn't looking at him thinking, oh, that's Michael B. Jordan. I'm just like,
No. I was like, that's a grown ass man playing this character. Even though we've seen him since he was a kid. No. Yeah.
I'm like, I was not thinking of him as nobody else other than Killmonger in that story.
He played the hell out of that role. In the very beginning,
before he got to Wakanda, when he was at the gallery,
yep.
I was like, look at him. He was like really clever, but he was also really clever and witty. And I liked the way they did it because it was like, even whether it was the superheroes, I mean, whether it was the like antagonist or the king in the Black Panther, everybody had these multi-layers. Like, I can be the king, I can be this, but I feel this way or I feel whatever. And then Killmonger felt this way, but he was still witty and whatever. And I was like, oh, I love this.
Man, really oh man, but when he got taken back to the ancestral plane, he didn't go to the same place that T'Challa went to.
Oh my God, that parallel.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So somebody mentioned, one of the people that we watched the movie with today, I didn't get into the deep with them, but mentioned the parallels. And that just kind of reminded me of like, okay, when T'Challa went to the ancestral plane, his thing was all regal and son and passing down some whatever. This is why I like Killmonger, because I swear to God, I ain't in Wakanda, I ain't dying, but if I close my eyes right now and if I was just to feel my deceased mom's energy, my shit would look more like Killmonger. Like, so I'm like, this is why I get it. My mother would be on the other side like, yo, I tried. I ain't even use that many drugs, but whatever. I made a mistake. Like, I don't like, and then like, if her loves the real life, like, yo, everybody ain't have that other law upbringing, but it was just a matter of us trying to understand each other and like bridge the gap between each other. And I was like, I really was here for that. I really was here for all of it.
Man, but that line that he had some of the best lines in the movie, but like when he made that line about, Sterling K. Brown was talking about how they see you as lost, and he was like, well, maybe we're not the ones that are lost, maybe it's them that are lost. I was like,
oh my God. He was like, he said maybe it was them that were lost or something about they didn't find us or something. I was just like, ooh. He did really have some, he had some really good like funny lines, but he also had some lines because he, when he said something about, I think when T'Challa said something about them not going outside of Wakanda, and he was like, he said something about like the ancestors or the slaves or whatever who chose to die because they knew that was more than being, was better than being shackled. I was just like, oh, Jesus
Christ. He said, bury me in the ocean with my ancestors. Said, bury me in the,
oh my God. I was like, oh my. Like, how is this a superhero movie, but it's so good, but it's making me think this much. I talked to my brother. I don't think nothing I could say could prep or warn my brothers at all. I don't care. Any warning I could get is still not going to warn him enough. But I was like, bro, you might cry. He said, over Black Panther? Yeah. I said, yes.
It's like 90% of the men that I have seen talk about it have said how emotional it was for them and how they cried or how they wanted to cry.
I was like, you are going, and especially my oldest brother, I was like, you're going to cry. And it's not going to be like, no, snotty, I'm so sad tears. I said, you're going to cry. I was like, it's going to make you, and most of the tears, even the sad ones were still kind of like making you sick, but it was like happy, but I was like, no, you're going to cry. So I have never been so excited to be like, first of all, I actually saw something before my brother saw it. And I'm like, bruh, can y'all go see this? When y'all gonna see it, I'll go with y'all. I want to be there. Because it's like, it's an event.
Yeah, it's an experience.
It's an experience.
Our generation's roots. Because like, you know how our parents talk about how everything literally shut down when they saw Roots. I feel like everything for us is shutting down for this experience.
The whole time I was watching the movie from my personal experience, I can relate what I can to my brothers, but they're still men. I just kept thinking about the fact that my two-month-old niece, whenever she gets old enough to be watching movies and stuff, she'll grow up in a world where this is already a thing.
Yeah.
Like, I will be able to be like, hey, you can see Shuri or whatever, and see who she like. And I'm like, I'll be able to tell her one day, like, how where I was when I watched it.
Yeah.
Or even my nephew, but especially my niece, since I'm a black woman. And I was like, oh, can we get some more of this?
Yeah, we need more. And shout out to the fact that Shuri is a Disney princess. For real.
Shuri, yes. Yeah, I just, and oh my goodness. So y'all know, we know about movies, but when I saw somebody write that, and I was like, hold up. She is a Disney princess. So I'm like, yeah, and I appreciate that because I've long been the person who, as far as the Disney princesses go, before I even had a niece, or I don't want kids, but even before I had a niece, I was always thinking like, I used to be like, I don't want my niece watching these same Disney movies that I watched growing up. Cause I'm like, I don't want my niece thinking she gotta be some damsel in distress, like chasing some fucking prince, like whatever, whatever. Not that you can't have love, but not in that way. Like, nah. Right. And so when you see somebody like Shuri, oh, these on this movie, it's like, oh, so you can love and you can be like, you can do all these things.
Yeah, Shuri was smart. She loved, but she knew how to fight too when it was time to fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, but that takes me to one scene that might be my second like favorite, because this is the one I yelled out when
Okoye.
I say Oku.
Okoye.
Yeah.
I know what you were ready to say.
Was in a battle with her boo, and she was about to kill him, and he was like, my love, would you kill me over Wakanda? And she said, between you and Wakanda. And I forgot the exact phrasing, but she chose
without
Wakanda.
A question.
Oh yeah, she said without a question. I yelled at the screen, fuck that nigga. Like, that was the one time I yelled out, fuck that nigga. And not necessarily in a, it wasn't even in like no vitriol toward the guy. Yeah. It was for me, it was for all those times that a woman felt like, I gotta choose a man because he a man,
right.
or I gotta choose a nigga over whatever, whatever. Like the nigga always come first, or your husband or your wife or your husband or what. Like, we don't do that ride or die shit. Fuck that nigga. I'll kill you, and I want to let you know right now that I will kill you.
And drop your weapon. And he did exactly dropped it.
And he dropped his weapon, because guys be thinking, oh, it don't matter what I'm going to do. It was for all those times where nigga just thought you were supposed to do what he wants you to do just because. And I was like, I felt so powerful. And I was just like, yes, fuck that nigga.
Right, right.
It was so good.
And it was so good. That was the second time in the movie that something like that had happened for her character. Because earlier, after, you know, we ain't giving you all the spoils, but after the battle with Killmonger and T'Challa, there was a situation that happened, and she had to make a decision. And so when Lupita Nyong'o's character came for her and was like, girl, we need this help. And then she was like, girl, I understand, but I can't come with you. I can't come and go as I please. This is my life. This is my career. This is what I pledged my allegiance to. And this is what I'm sticking to. This is who I am. Yeah. She's like, this is who I am. And I take pride in that. I'm not about to give that up. My allegiance is here. Yes, I love you. Yes, you're my family. Yes, you're my people. But I can't roll with you. Like, I can't.
And I don't think it like really clicked in my head to just now how much of that part was just like, bruh, that's a real women's life. Like, that's us. That's us. Mm-hmm. That's women talking to each other every day. Like, some of us gonna be like, come on, something like, nah, I already, this is what I committed to. Like, this is whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I'm about.
Sometimes you gotta make some hard decisions. Yeah. And that was a hard decision. Imagine having to choose your job over your a friendship or your family. And so many times we as women choose,
you gotta do it every day.
We do the opposite. And then sometimes, you know, you think about, okay, what my life could have been had I stuck with it. She didn't, without a question, she stuck to what she knew, because she knew that that cause was going to be greater for her in the long run. And even though she had to serve that fool for a hot minute, you know, everything worked out. She still had her job at the end of the day. She was the most powerful woman in Wakanda, and she wasn't just a figurehead. She was the leader of she was a general.
Yeah. She was. I was like, I fucks with her.
I was
like, out of all the people in the movie, I think I tweeted, I want to be Okoye, but I want to be best friends with Shuri.
Yeah.
And those are ones that's more, I identified with her. And when I said it's the representation that I didn't know I needed, like, I might not be that, you know, in real life, usual parallels. Of course, I'm not like some general at a company or whatever, but in my own right, my mother died. It's my brothers. I'm the matriarch of this family to a certain extent. I make the key decisions. And I'm like, bruh, you're like, yeah, sometimes you gotta make them hard decisions. Like, this what we doing. I don't got no questions. Damn. Whatever. And sometimes I don't always necessarily, you know, she had her little fun side, little flirty side, but I felt like that was more me, because sometimes you don't, if you're not paying attention, it's easy to forget that side of her because you see that strong side. And I was like, bruh, I'm like, oh, I get, like, yeah, I get that. That's me. Like, niggas who know me know I laugh, know I joke, know I do all that. But if you don't really know me, you might think I'm just a mean bitch sometimes. But no, it's just like, I'm like, oh, cool, yeah, I got business to take care of. Leave me alone. Yeah. I mean,
when it's time for other stuff, I'll do that. But for now, this is me. This is me on my job, and I'm about my job. Like, you my man, but this is my job, homie.
Yeah.
Don't bring that shit to my job. But, baby, I'll tell you, that old boy escaped Get Out just to find his ass back in the fucking sunken place. For real.
Look, so y'all know I be half-assed on movies, but I was like, oh, ain't that the man from Get Out? Was he with the white lady? I don't know. I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his character's name is Wakabe. And it was like, I felt for him, and I knew exactly what he wanted, and as soon as Killmonger showed up with that bag, I said, oh, okay, this nigga about to switch.
He about to switch.
Yeah,
Killmonger showed up with that bag, he was like, oh.
Yeah, he was like, oh, this nigga did something you couldn't do. Huh?
But shout out to them capes.
Yes.
Them
capes when they went like...
The cake, when it put that force field, it was like,
yeah, I loved it.
Shout out to all the technology, like, of course, like, whatever, you'll watch it and see, but like, that technology was like mad fancy. Shuri was out here just showing us all her skills.
Yes.
Like it was nothing.
It was effortless for her.
It was effortless. They made like references to, they made like current pop culture references and stuff like that. It was really good.
Yeah, it was good. And I liked her, I can't even call it her lab. It seemed like more like a studio, because she had the artwork on the wall. She had the music bumping. She had her tennis shoes on. Oh, it was so chill.
And as far as her and the other women, I like the fact that just because they were quote unquote tough, they did not have style and flair.
Oh yeah,
because they had on like Suri and her white dress, sneakers or whatever. I'm like, she is fly. They didn't just like, it's not like they had to go, oh, to make her tough, we gotta dress her like a guy. And then it wasn't overtly sexual, but they were fine as fuck. Yeah. It wasn't like, oh, I mean, not superhero, but when I think of like what my brother would watch or play, like those video games, like with Laura Croft and stuff. It was like anytime it was like a strong woman, she had to be half naked. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, not saying that you can't be half naked and kill some niggas, but be for real, you would like, that's not like they were super fine, and they were like in like these really like sexy clothes, a little bit revealing, but not necessarily too revealing. And it was like it was well rounded. It wasn't just like, oh, women on the screen, only way we can tolerate them is if they ain't got no clothes on.
Right. Lupita showed you a little leg.
First of all, not only did she show leg, if you was paying close attention, anytime Lupita ran away, she was dragging a whole bunch of wagons.
Yeah, she was.
Back there that Lupita didn't realize was there. I said, she is scamming us, because I did not know.
She the slim thick. She's fit skinny, but I she got a booty. Like Tracy Ellis Ross.
When she turned around, I said, hold up. I say, hold up, what is that? But all of them was just fine in their own way. Okoye with that bald head.
Oh, my God.
Like,
she had me cracking up, though, in that casino scene.
With the wig?
Yeah, she was like, I can't wait to get down with this.
I can't wait to get this off. But I was just like, yeah, it just gave us so many levels. It was,
I loved it. I love the natural hair on the men and the women. I love the locks.
Yeah, the men's hair was popping.
Yep.
The men's hair was popping. Sure, he had her braids.
Yes, and they were styled differently each way. She had the undercut. It was all cute in the back. I was like,
Even when Killmonger, at one point, he had his little bun and a bang, and then they was braided back. I said, shout out to niggas got hairstyles out
right here. it was hard,
or just the matter of like, another thing that stuck out to me, other than mostly as being a black woman, the women stuck out, but the men factor is like, oh, I've been watching, look, white people, this is how y'all been feeling all the time. Y'all feeling left out, because all this time we've been watching movies and it's like, oh, you can have a movie with all black people?
Right.
And it's like, yeah. Like, yes, do this more often.
Yeah.
All these years we've just been by default watching movies and we're supposed to just automatically be comfortable, like some bullshit like Friends or whatever movies. I was thinking about like the other superhero movies that I watched, like whether it's Spider-Man or Iron Man or whatever. I was like, yeah, but they still white.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, look, like this not, it's like black and it's like, oh, it was so good.
Yeah, we can literally count on one hand how many black superhero movies. And for me, Django is a superhero movie, so I put that in.
The way y'all describe, the way y'all, I never seen it, of course. But what? The way you talk about it. Oh. I don't think about, I, yeah. every movie you think I watched, just assume I didn't and then be surprised when I did.
Okay, first of all, we're going to have to watch that on the Skype. Because I need to see your reaction to shit. Because I know you're gonna be animated.
Maybe,
but yeah,
I'll watch it. I just don't be watching movies.
And then
that's why I got to get a boo. Somebody sent hooked me up. I tend to watch movies when I'm with somebody. See, but go. I've been single for 8 years. So what I've been doing,
that's why I watch. But back to what you were saying about seeing more black people on films, and I was thinking about it today because I was looking up. Okay. What are the box office numbers saying? Because I'm like, this is definitely, this weekend is going to be 200 million. And I remember the estimate was like 175. I was like, that's low. Because we're going to show up and show out. And everybody I know show that has seen it.
But how many friends we know that already, it is legit Saturday night. And we know people that seen it 3 and 4 times.
Yeah, already. I know people that saw it twice in the same day. So I know it's going to break records. But the thing that I was thinking about is that black movies make money consistently. It doesn't matter how small of a budget you give us, we gonna double, triple, quadruple that every single time. It's very rare that a black movie does not make its money back. And when they talk about how black movies aren't bankable internationally, you it's don't know that. It's a lie.
Another thing that they perpetuating about us.
Yeah, and when I was thinking about why some black movies, the box office, even though they make money, the box office is low, it's because the number of screens that they show it on. When I looked it up today, Black Panther is playing out in over 4,000 screens across the United States. Usually, mm-hmm. black movies could be in about 1,000 to 2,000 screens. We're talking about mm-hmm. this is double. And you see how much money that we are bringing in? It's sold out coast to coast. It's sold out overseas. Niggas will pay to see movies, so don't play us like black movies don't make money, because they do. You can't use that as an excuse and anymore give, after this.
And give us some shit to watch, you know, some shit that we want to invest in and whatever, whatever. It's like, we going to watch it.
Right. And everything don't have to be sad. It don't have to be, I hate to be one of those people like, it don't have to be a slave movie. But I'm serious. It doesn't have to be a slave movie. It doesn't but have to be a Tyler Perry movie.
Good about this movie, because it's nothing wrong with those things.
Nothing.
But if I've been on this earth a whole 33 years, if most of the big black movies I remember is Roots and Color Purple and 12 Years a Slave or whatever, whatever, I'm like, but that's not matching up with my real life. Like,
right.
not that those aren't good or the people ain't act their ass off, but like, I'm a whole ass person. So that's mm-hmm. only one part of my life. Can I just, white people get to be just regular ass white people finding love and feeding dogs
yeah.
all the time. Like, can I just be a movie with a regular ass nigga? I think that's why, even though it's not a movie, it's a TV show, I think that's why Insecure struck a chord with so many of us. Because
yeah.
it was just like a regular-ass show with black yeah. people just being regular-ass black people.
Yeah.
Like our regular-ass self.
Yeah. And the thing that I love the most about leaving the film is I felt good when I left the movie. I didn't want to fight yeah. somebody. And 9 times out of 10...
And even my tears weren't like, damn, that was a sad movie.
Right.
It was like tears of joy.
Yeah, because it's like you, all those other movies that you mentioned. I mean, even Fruitvale Station, which was a wonderful movie, I didn't want to see it because I knew it was going to be sad. And when I saw it, it was sad and I cried. Shit, Antoine Fisher, great movie, but sad. 12 Years a Slave, great movie, but sad. Fences, excellent movie, but sad. It's like, I want to feel good when I leave the movie, so when I see my people on the screen.
Hey, can we have a feel? You know, I always remember growing up when I would see commercials about a movie, and it'd be like, such and such, feel good movie of the year. Those didn't ever have black people in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah. Can we have a feel good movie?
Yeah, we deserve.
And it's almost like, in that, it's just perpetuate like the stereotypes, like not that it was a bad movie, but like those old movie, those other movies that's like that leave you feeling sad. It just ingrained more of that in your psyche. Because even another type of movie that I like, but I know I saw a lot of, is like the, I don't know what you call a genre, but it's like the black sports team overcomes and then they win or whatever. Yeah. Like Coach
Any
Carter
Given Sunday.
Or Any Given Sunday. And while I love those, I was like, a lot of black niggas always gotta be down and out. And why we only can win if it's sports?
Right.
Get the fuck out my
face.
We
need a win in life.
Can we get a regular ass life win? Oh yeah, the Negroes, they come through and they play all the good sports. Like, get out my face.
See, and that's why I like Insecure. That's why I like This Is Us. That's why I like shit, Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder. That's shit. Even Law and Order for a certain extent, because it's black folks doing something different. We're not just always, you know, like you said, down on our luck, growing up in the projects, have a rags to riches story, or get adopted or saved by some white folks. It's like, no, there's black folks that are actually doing the work, that actually, you know, that are doing other things. We're not always the maids and shit like that.
Yeah, and it's like a big like an open secret, I guess that's what it's called. Because when I see certain people on TV before, I'm looking like, I don't necessarily brag about it, but I'm like, I got a master's degree. My immediate group of friends, they all have master's degrees, CPAs, other certifications. So when I see these other like representations of us on TV, I'm like, not saying I ain't grow up with the ghetto auntie or whatever like that, because I love them motherfuckers too.
But even the ghetto auntie got a good job.
First of all, the ghetto auntie's got a good job. And the ghetto, like, so I'm like, where is this well-rounded black woman? And it is going to blow my mind like forever until it's more regular that I found this in a superhero movie.
Right.
But I'm here for it because black women, we superheroes anyway.
If you didn't learn anything else from watching this movie, learn the fact that black women, you need black women to save your ass.
You do, always.
Always. I mean, this movie always really showed the strength. It really showed the strength, the resilience, the talent, the duality, the many facets and faces of the average black woman.
And I love how they did that. Hint, hint, guys, you do not have to hype up one black woman by putting down another black woman. Or you don't have to hype up, or hyping up a black woman does not necessarily mean putting down a black man, because the black men in this movie was still relevant. It was still powerful. It was still like a joint thing and everybody was learning. And I'm like, what? Can y'all pay attention?
Right. It was mutual respect. It was mutual respect for each other's positions in life as humans.
In humanity.
Yeah, like, you respect their humanity. You respect me as not only just as a woman because I have breasts or whatever, but you respect me as a person and you see me as a person first. My gender is secondary.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. It was so good.
Yeah, man. I mean, shit, it was everything. And I'm still gonna see it again.
Yeah. Like, y'all know, listen, I don't do movies, but this is going to be one of the ones where I'm like, I would definitely watch it time and time again.
Yeah, so, you know, we're going to get it on DVD, we're going to get it on Blu-ray. I'm thinking about getting this, downloading the soundtrack. I actually want a physical copy of the soundtrack as well. So
I'm like, I want to be Okoye for Halloween. I never dress up, but this might be one of those years I think like I'm going to dress up every year. I was like, this might be one of those years I actually stop planning to dress up.
I want to dress up like the dude that had the thing in his mouth. Like, I want to know if that was CGI.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. It was just so good. Just y'all just go watch it.
That shit was out there. I don't even know how they did that. I need to know if that was CGI or if that was real, because his mouth was stretched and his ears.
But I wouldn't be surprised if it was, because like when I would watch documentaries and stuff on like real life African tribes and stuff like that, I would see stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
And also shout out to the fact that they realistically showed how you could be, because in Africa you could be from the same country, but your people, there's different people, there's different tribes, and you can see that in their hair, in the way that they dressed, in the way that they spoke, in their accents. You can see it. And I love that they took care to show that, because normally when you see a movie like this or whatever, you see everybody speaks the same. But that's not how it is. Like, you and
they did that. They really did.
Yeah. Like, look at you and I, we're both African American, but we spoke both speak differently because we're both from different parts of the states. And black and people are not a monolith. It's
a stereotype of, like, even though Wakanda is this fictional place in Africa, it was just like, forget, go, like, it was like, you know how people say go back to Africa? Like, that's a big ass continent.
Right.
Well, what you mean? But tell me to go back to Wakanda. I'm trying to go.
I'm trying to
if
go.
If that's what go back to Africa means, I'll go there though.
I'm trying to get my passport so I can go. I need to see how much a round trip to Wakanda.
They need to have some kind of normalcy like Wakanda passports.
For real.
So I'll be like, I'm going to Wakanda.
For real.
I
need all the Black Panther stuff, man. I need all of it. I need it for me. I need it for my kids. I need it for the culture. I need all of it. I'm spending my money on this, and I have no problem doing it. And I don't care if they're not donating 25% to Black people.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's like, y'all Black people, man, some of y'all, it's a trip. Some of y'all really was doing the most. And I'm not talking about the ones that dressed up, because I was one of them. I'm not talking about the ones that have been tweeting about it and talk about it. I'm talking about one of the ones that was talking shit before the movie even came out. Like, let the movie come out. Let people enjoy things. And if you can't, shut the fuck up, because we're not here for that.
Yeah.
We're here to have a good time. Don't kill
out of control.
Because history is hot in history. 20 years from now, you're going to act like you was one of us. You're not going to say that you missed it. You ain't going to act like you ain't going to admit that you was a hater 20 years from now. So just stop it. Do us all a favor and shut it up.
You ain't lying about that.
Yeah. But I guess we could discuss
this was fun.
It was fun. Yeah.
What?
I was going to say.
What you going to say? Can we discuss what?
No, we don't even need to discuss that. We can just pretty much wrap this up. I mean,
I was drinking Paul Masson the whole time we was talking. So I'm going to be knocked out when we're done.
You a mess. I did drink. Yeah, I know. It is bad and boozy. We did discuss. Oh, Dee discussed the drink that she had before. I had two different drinks at the bar that we went to after the film. The first drink that I had was a Wakanda Fizz. And I really should have paid attention to what was in it, because y'all know I don't drink dark liquor. But it was a dark liquor. It was made with rye, bitters, cherry, and coke. And it was strong as hell, and it was nasty. I did not like it at all.
Mm.
So after that, I ordered it. And mind you, the damn drink was like $16. Then the next drink that I ordered was a sangria. But I do want to talk about this because it did bother me a little bit. I don't want to act like I'm hating on the experience or whatever. But the place that we went to after the film that was organized, it was not Black. And I was a little bit disappointed in that, because you had the whole experience before. You had the whole experience at the watching it. You have the whole feeling of being on a high, of being around your brothers and sisters and your cousins and seeing all this Black excellence on screen. And then the place that we go to was like the whitest place, the whitest bar ever. The music was white. The atmosphere was white. And nothing against, there's nothing wrong with, you know, my white brothers and sisters. But I wanted to be amongst my people afterwards so that we could like really, you know, continue the festivities the way that we do. I was trying to keep a shuffle and all that stuff. But it was like, yeah, man, it wasn't, I didn't really care for that bar. I really wish they could have chose a different place. I mean, shit, Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles was literally right down the street, and they have a lounge and a bar and live jazz music and all that stuff. So I would say next time y'all plan stuff, maybe think about doing a establishment that is a little bit more Negro friendly.
Yeah, I think it kind of helped, because ours wasn't necessarily like Black or not Black, but since it's downtown, like a touristy area, and that theater tends to be more Black. When we rolled up in there, most of the staff is Black. DC got, you know, a pretty good little Black population, so it was Blackity Black. It was Black. Like the, and then it was funny because since such a big crowd of us came in after the event, I noticed a couple maybe white people come in initially, and I don't know if it was just because it was crowded, whether they saw all these Negroes, but they turned around. And I was like, good, colonizers, leave.
Man.
And then, but it didn't really, like, the white people, other people didn't really start trickling in until, like, after we left. And we had a nice little, and it was a pretty sizable place, so even if they came they would have been in a like part where we couldn't see them no way. So that worked for me for this day, for this particular experience.
Yeah, and it was a beautiful establishment. We had a great spot, but it was just like the music was such an, and the atmosphere was such a distraction. It was like the little high that I had experienced was like coming down like right afterwards. Because
they were taking forever to get our drinks. So I was like, oh yeah, so we home.
You stupid. You are stupid. But yeah, shout out to the place not having no real food afterwards either. We had a, we wound up at Wingstop at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right. Oh no, we Bar Louie was like a whole way of restaurant. I wasn't that hungry because I ate before and then I ate all them snacks during the movie. But I had some wings and some drinks and niggas ordered sliders and pizzas and meals afterwards.
So. Shout out to Wingstop for them voodoo fries. Because y'all know I'm vegetarian, so I don't eat meat. But they have these voodoo fries. My lord, it had the Cajun seasoning on it. It had ranch and like some spiciness and cheese on it. Oof. Them joints was everything I needed at 2 o'clock in the morning and more.
Oh yeah, because y'all, I keep forgetting y'all went late, so we was good. A lot of us were eating late because it was like 2:30.
Yeah, the event started at 7. The movie started at 8. You know, with the previews and stuff, we got out of the theater about 10:30. Got in our cars and drove to the place because it was not in walking distance. And we stayed there literally till like 1 o'clock in the morning. And then we walked to the next spot.
The distance in DC, like, because I told you, we ended up having like some, like a little snow and sleet situation.
Yeah.
And most of us didn't experience it. We didn't have to go out in it until we were like done. Because the like gallery place where we were at, the movie theater, the restaurant and stuff was all access from like inside this one venue. So that worked out. And then most people either like just walk and you can get into the metro from like that same venue or parking or whatever. So I definitely like the convenience of it. It worked out. I had a good experience.
Yeah.
I'm glad we were able to share, you know, like the East Coast and West Coast versions and just everybody who's just like sharing in the middle, like just connecting online and being Black. It was really good.
I'm enjoying watching everyone have a good time. And it's a shared experience, to say the least. Like we're all, even though we're all doing our own thing, we're still participating in the same moment in the culture. And you could actually feel that this is a culture shift. You can feel that things are going to be different afterwards as far as filmmaking, because it was not just a movie. It was a fucking film. The dialogue, the cinematography, if she don't win an Oscar for these costumes, I'm gonna be pissed.
Oh my god, if old girl don't win, this was one of the few times ever in my life that I watched a movie. Also, my brothers taught me that I'm supposed to stay for the credits, but not only did I stay for the credits to see the scenes, I was reading the credits like all these things I didn't realize that they show in the credits, but the costumes and like locations and all that, I was like, no, I don't know who did the costumes and all that. They need the choreography and all that. They need give everybody all the awards. I'm going to be next. We root for everybody Black. I don't even care if they're Black. They worked in a Black movie. Root for them. The costumes were everything. Mm-hmm. It was so good.
Everything. I mean, there's nothing about this movie not to like. And, you know, we're giving you the experience as, number one, as African-Americans. Number two, as women. But there is something for everyone in this film, really not just Black people. It doesn't matter what race you are, what religion you are, what political affiliation that you ascribe to, but it's still fuck Trump. It really doesn't matter because there's literally something for everybody in this film. It is highly enjoyable. I suggest that you run down to the theater and you enjoy it before all the spoilers come out. And if it does get spoiled for you, you should have seen it opening weekend.
If you like me, you're going to half-ass pay attention to the spoilers, and then when you see it, you're going to be like, oh, that's what that meant. That's what normally happens to me in real life. I'd be like, oh, I see a movie and finally get a joke that somebody's been making.
Yep. And you know what? Shout out to the fact that this was a superhero movie where the main character was not the superhero. Because I really don't feel like T'Challa was the main character.
No, my homeboy, what was one of the homies on Twitter, Dragonfly Jones, believe, when he ranked his favorite characters, I'm like, T'Challa wasn't even number one. And I was like, I'm feeling him on this whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think T'Challa was like his number five, and that was the Black, you know what I'm saying? He wasn't even like the main one. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, and don't get me wrong, Chadwick Boseman was amazing in his portrayal character.
That is why it was so great, because he wasn't even the best.
Right.
But he was excellent.
Yeah.
So that tell you how much better everybody else was. They bought it.
Everybody brought it.
Everybody came with the A game. Yep.
It was here for it. I'm still here for it. I'll be here for it until the next one. I'm hyped up for the fucking sequel. I'm not even really hyped up for the next Avengers movie, Infinity Stone. Even though I'm gonna see it, I'm really hyped up for the next Black Panther.
I just want the Black Panther.
Yeah, and I'm hyped up for the Killmonger movie.
I feel like it's gonna be kind of like, Killmonger, if they're giving him a spinoff, I'm here for it.
He need a backstory movie, because we need to know what happened before. We need to know how he decided to plot this.
What was he doing in Afghanistan? What was he doing?
Yeah.
I got a feeling. I feel like Killmonger been fucking in tones.
Yeah.
Why he was on duty, I don't know, but I'm here for the story. Somebody let us know what he was doing.
Killmonger was thick, but M'Baku was thick.
Oh my God, Killmonger was thick, but M'Baku, he was a certain different kind of,
He was solid.
He was solid as a rock.
Yes. And shout out to the fact that he is 6'5 in real life and is from Tobago. You know, I had to do my Winston Duke. Hello. And he went to
he a big jump.
Yes, and he graduated from Yale.
I did see that. I did see something about from the Ivy Leagues or something.
Yeah, so he is highly educated. He's smart.
And shout out to him not even looking like what you picture when you think about a nigga being from Yale.
Right.
Graduating from Yale.
Same thing with Paperboy from Atlanta. He graduated from Yale, too.
Yes. Niggas out here smart as hell. This is why these movies are important. Because we so multifaceted.
Yeah, but shout out to the niggas that thought Viola Davis was in the movie.
They thought she was in a movie.
They thought it was girl that played Okoye was Viola Davis. They thought she was Viola. Yeah. Mm-mm. I heard about 3 or 4 people say that. I was like, Viola Davis was in this movie.
That's the
Michonne from Walking Dead. Yeah.
I didn't even realize it until I was like, but look, when she had the wig on, I whispered to the person next to me and I said, she looked like the girl from Chewing Gum. She said, bitch, that's Michonne. I said, oh, the Walking Dead lady. Oh, all right, you're right.
And shout out to
because I don't watch Walking Dead.
I don't either. But shout out to the fact that when I went to the World Market to get this alcohol that I was sipping on today, I'm actually drinking beer, y'all, which we'll break out on the next episode of Bad and Boozy. But shout out to the fact that they have a Walking Dead beer and they have a Game of Thrones beer.
I feel like I saw one or both of them before, but just from other people posting it online. A lot of people that watch the shows.
They need a Black Panther brew. I'm here for it.
Come on, one of you wineries.
Chocolate stout. I'm here for it.
I love a chocolate stout. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll mention it. I'm supposed to be going to get some beer at a tasting tomorrow, so hopefully. Maybe I'll tell the brewery that I'm going to tomorrow and be like, hey, can we get a Black Panther?
Can we get a Black Panther? Yep.
Not can I get a Black Panther. We legit was at that bar like, hey, can we get a Wakanda? But we said it as if they had a Black Panther menu. They didn't. We was like, you can make us one, though.
The place that we were at, they had 2 different Black Panther drinks. They had the Wakanda Fizz, which I had, and then they had a Vibrani rum drink. So, that's the one I should have got. But it had cinnamon in it. It had rum, pineapple, and cinnamon. Mm-hmm. I was like, cinnamon? Cinnamon. But yeah, shout out to the overall experience that we had. Shout out to everyone who was in the movie, who played any significant part. Whether large or small, you contributed to the overall success of this genre. People are going to be talking about this movie, for generations to come. This is part of canon. You know, this is one of the great movies that people are going to be talking about, not just in black film, but in film as a whole, because this was this is one of the greatest superhero movies of all times, man. Like, from what I'm hearing from people have it, like, already in their top 5. As far as Marvel movies, people have it as 1 or 2. But, you know, that Dark Knight, that's number 1 for a lot of people, myself included. It was pretty damn close.
Hold up. I definitely did. Oh, this is one of the times where I can participate. I saw The Dark Knight.
Yeah, with crazy-ass Joker.
That movie was a damn... That, oh yeah, no, that movie was good. I took off of work and went, and I had a date with myself, and I saw that by myself, but it was fucking amazing.
Yeah, and there are parallels between that movie and this movie, because that was character driven, that was dialogue driven as well. It gave you a lot of backstory.
If we just go on a movie, I could see why somebody might have Dark Knight before it, but nothing going to top the experience that I felt after being a film.
Yeah, I've only felt an experience similar, but not the same. When I saw Passion of the Christ, that was like an experience. This was a different experience, but it was an experience nonetheless. And this is one that I will remember for a long time. I want to share it with my daughter. Yeah. If my son was here, I would share it with him. If he wasn't on punishment, that is, that nigga was acting up. And his daddy been letting him. So, yeah, man, I encourage you to see it. There's no reason why you shouldn't. I don't care if you broke, you got the bag bar on steel to get to the movie, man. Just don't bootleg it. Don't do that.
Mm-mm. Pay them their money.
Pay them what you owe them. Yeah, so you got anything else you want to put on this episode?
No, just go see the damn movie. Yeah. I don't even be watching movies, so that tells y'all should go see the movie.
Yeah, for real. Dee don't be watching shit. She don't. I ain't gonna. Hey, she was a year late on Insecure too. So
yeah, I don't be watching TV either. I was no whole year late on Insecure. I just watched it after the first season wrapped up.
So she watched Scandal though, and that murder. That's it. In a Drag Race. And this is
I didn't watch them live. I ain't catch up on Scandal until season 3. I binged it when the government was shut down that year and caught up.
Hey, there you go.
That was the start of my. One day we'll talk more about me and my lack of TV knowledge.
I jumped on Scandal late too, so hey, I didn't watch it the first few seasons.
But I never grew up like watching TV, so it was like if I ain't never watched TV, I was never that interested, so I was about to all of a sudden just start watching it all the time.
Yeah, there you go. But she made it a point to come out opening weekend to see Black Panther, and that's why we are blessing you with this episode today. And you know what?
Yeah, I like random little sidetracks from the regularly scheduled program.
Yeah, because you know what? We be having sidebars and stuff, but we don't need to have a sidebar when we do special episodes like this. Like we said, this is Wakanda Uncorked.
This is a top.
Yeah.
Wakanda
So look forward to other additional premium content in the future. It's not all going to be this.
Gonna happen. You never know when, like, we never know what's going to happen in life. Like, we need to talk about this.
Yeah, you know what? And you know what? Y'all listen to us because you like our voices. You like what we have to say about this beer and wine. Yeah, and we always have a drink when we do it. But you know what? This is something that we felt that was important, and we needed to add our voices to the what do we call it? To the ether. To the ancestral plane.
To the ancestral plane.
So, this has been an episode of Bad and Boozy Wakanda Uncorked. Can't even say our regular tagline. I don't even know how to end this. Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever.
Yeah, and we will see you all on the next episode of Bad and Boozy. Thanks, y'all, for listening. Bye.
Bye.